Okay, well, welcome to one of my very first recordings on my own. I was in the studio when I did the other one, so I'm sort of like helpless, but having my tea. It's Monday, March 2nd, a little bit before 5. I'm in Stockholm in my office and just wanted to record something, basically because for a while now I've been getting a lot of people who are, you know, interested in being spiritual or they're curious about what that is. And you know, I can only tell you what it is for me and what I've sort of read and over the years. I mean, you know, how to be spiritual is like sort of like how to be happy. You know, it's like maybe you're happy doing this and maybe you're happy doing that, but you know, to each his own, right? But there are some core things that I can go over that are important that should be taken into consideration, I think, when you know you're thinking about doing something. First of all, I want you to know, and you probably already know this if you've looked around, there's a lot of shit out there. And that was the word I used, shit. Not that everybody, I mean, everybody has a right to do what they want and be happy and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I mean, even the other day I was watching a BBC video on the Buddha and my God, the information they were giving about what Buddha was about and stuff. It was so misguided. It was sort of like this very nice woman who was a presenter, but she was obviously sort of hadn't done her research and things like that. And the things that she was saying was like, my God, people are going to see this and they're really going to think that this is what it's about. I mean, nothing was harmful. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, you were going to end up watching the video and then go beat your dog or something like that. But I was just thinking like, my God, if I didn't know what I knew, I would totally believe this because it was a good production. So what is it to be spiritual? In my opinion and what I tell clients and anyone else who will listen, basically, is, you know, first of all, you're already spiritual. You have a soul. So, you know, whether you like it or not, you're having a spiritual experience, you know. But if you want to intentionally have a spiritual experience, then this is what I would suggest. The first thing is, you know, psychology plays a role. Self-help plays a role. It's a limited role because it, you know, can only take you so far, but it's, you know, it's part of it. So the first thing I would do is, you know, look at how you feel. You know, do you have intense anger? Do you have intense sadness? Are there things that are there that, you know, could be resolved by seeing a therapist? Because therapists have a place. You know, everybody has sort of unresolved issues with, you know, their parents or their family, or, you know, sometimes terrible things have happened in childhood. So there's, you know, the first step in being spiritual is cleaning up the shit that's in you energetically and in your mind. Okay. Think of it like, taking a pee before you go running. You know, you drink a lot of water, you got to pee, go pee, release it. And now you can go do what you want to do. So that's the first thing. So I would sit down and honestly, you know, examine my life and say, okay, there's this that I have an issue with, or I have an eating disorder, or I'm a kleptomaniac, or I'm a, you know, sex addict or whatever. I'm not laughing at that, but, you know, I'm just being stupid. But anyway, you know, see what's there. And then, go for the help. Go for the therapist. It's not wrong to seek out that kind of help. The whole intention of that is so that you release, so that you just get rid of it. You know, you're not going to change anything. You want to get rid of the pain. So the first step is looking at yourself psychologically, okay? And that's not easy, and maybe you need to see a therapist to find out what this stuff is, but you can always sense if there's something in there. And, you know, I've done it, everyone's done it, or should do it if they're on some kind of a spiritual practice or whatever. It's beneficial. It's lightening the load, okay? And as you release this stuff, and sometimes it happens slowly, sometimes it happens quickly, a lot at one time, a little at one time, but just the fact that you're doing it is good, okay? The second thing that I would then start to do is some kind of health practice. Are you taking care of your body? Do you eat shit food? Do you never exercise, okay? Now, it's not about having a perfect body or a tight ass or anything like that, but When you exercise and when you do these sorts of things, you know, we've all had it. You feel better and you feel lighter. Well, it's not just because, you know, you exercise the muscles and the muscles are giving you, you know, the feedback that says, wow, thank you so much. It's the releasing of energy. You know, every day we take on good and bad energy, you know. We witness somebody arguing, we're taking in that energy. We have a fight with our loved one, you know, there's that negative energy. And, you know, negative energy, especially when it comes from family, can last a lifetime and you just bury it deep down. I mean, everyone has heard about somebody who's had a massage and then they start crying out of nowhere. Well, why? Well, it was trapped. I mean, in my healing practice here in Stockholm, I see it all the time. It's curious. It always seems to go in the chest, which is the heart chakra, the stomach, which is about the third or fourth chakra, depending on you, and then the feet. I have felt so much trauma in the feet. And in fact, I got this when I was in India. This beautiful tapestry that's from Tibet. It's about 300 years old, and I believe the guy I bought it from, by the way. But it's predominantly, and in the center of it, it has these two huge feet. And you think, well, why the hell is that there? And basically, it's letting you know, if you don't know, that it's all about the feet. So it's kind of an unsexy place to carry your trauma, but if you have very sensitive feet, or if you press on them, they hurt. That's not just your foot not liking your shoe. That's trauma. That's energy. That's negative energy. Okay. So taking care of yourself, doing, you know, going to the gym and that sort of thing. Excuse me. It's not going to, you know, like, cure it all or whatever, but yet it's another thing that you're releasing. Everything is about releasing, okay? So what I really recommend, though, also, is if you're going to do these sorts of things, you know, some kind of physical thing, which you should, is some kind of, you know, like yoga. And I had a friend once say to me, yeah, but, you know, yoga is boring. And I'm like, of course it's fucking boring. It's like it's standing there in this pose. But what the pose does is what they found out, you know, 1,000 or so years ago, is that when you move the body and you breathe a certain way, you are able to release the negative stuff that you're holding on to. And it was a way to get the body nice and light and clean so that it could then do the third thing that I'll talk about, which is meditation. And so do some kind of, you can do Kundalini, you can do all the sexy tantra stuff or whatever, but, you know, make sure you're doing something that is actually physical. Not, you don't have to be like the pretzel, or, you know, bending and, you know, looking at your own ass from the wrong way. You know, it's nothing about that, but very, very simple things. And what's funny, in fact, that a lot of people who come, you know, they say, well, my doctor showed me this pose, or this told me to do this sort of thing. And it's like, that's fucking yoga, you know. So even medical science is like taking over in a way to sort of, you know, steal the ideas or what have you. So you have the psychological, number one, which is, you know, look at yourself from the mind. Get help. Have a friend. Do something, okay, when it comes to that kind of thing. In the beginning, it will help a lot. Towards the end, you'll have to sort of then go into the other stuff that I'm talking about. But it definitely has a place. Number two is to do something physical. So, like what I do, because I'm perfect. No, I'm just kidding. That just came out so easily. I'm perfect. No, but what I do is I go to the gym twice a week. That's for the muscles. It's basically because I'm getting older. I'm like 50 now, you know. And I see all these guys my age. You know, they're getting like man tits and shit like that. And it's like, you know, fuck that. I'm going to go and just work out my body and get muscular and strong and see how long I can keep it up. But it's, so lifting is really good. Feeling strong in the body, that's really, really good. But then I supplement it with yoga. Now I do a home-based yoga because I'm sort of like, all of a sudden I'm not doing anything and I'm like, ah, screw it, let's do some yoga. So I like that. But, you know, being in a class or having an environment where people are supportive of each other, you know, is really good too. And if you're single, you might meet somebody. So it's like two for one, you know. And especially if you're a guy, it's hardly any men in these yoga classes. So anyway, there's that second part, which is the physical. So match something. You know, if you don't like yoga, do a Pilates, which incorporates something, or just do some kind of stretches. I mean, there's a reason why yoga has survived for like a couple thousand years. It works. Anything in civilization, in history, won't last if it really doesn't work. So that's sort of a good thing to sort of remember. Okay, and the third thing that we're going to talk about is finding some kind of meditation. Meditation's tough because, you know, it's like anything else. You know, everybody who teaches it or has their thing, you know, they want to sell you something, which is fine because, I mean, you know, everybody has to eat and buy milk or Oatly, that sort of thing. But it's sort of like a one-size-fits-all shoe. You know, it's like, this is what we do. You must do it this way and do it correctly. And for some people, it's cool. I mean, some people it works and they're happy or whatever. But most of the people that I get here in my office in Stockholm, they've tried something else and didn't like it, or it used to work and now it doesn't work, and that sort of thing. So there is no right meditation. There is no right yoga. There is no right psychotherapy. It's just whatever is sort of right for you. So try meditation. I mean, I have some stuff on my YouTube, some guided little ones just to sort of help out. But find something that is very good for you. What meditation does is, as you're releasing the energy of the trauma of the mind and you're releasing the energy and trauma of the body, it's like taking away the curtains that are blocking the sunlight from the window, okay? And as you remove each layer of curtains, it's getting lighter in the room. The sun has always been there, but the curtains are blocking it. So when you have a lot of problems, I see pictures of people on Instagram and I feel sad for them because I can just see how heavy their energy is. You know, they have good hearts and they're good people, but they're just, you know, life is just kicking their ass because of all this stuff. And what our culture doesn't teach us, or at least not yet, is that you don't have to keep this. I mean, to me, it's like what I'm describing, what I say to my clients is like, it's like going to the spiritual toilet. I mean, you know, if you got to go to the toilet, it's no mystery. Oh, what's happening to me? I don't understand. You know, you just go, do it, come back, and you're better. And it's the same with trauma and energy and things that we're holding on to. But we think, well, you know, I don't think about it. I don't suffer from it. But yet there is a heaviness of your energy that contributes to all of it. And everyone just runs around trying to fall in love with a new person every, you know, 1.5 to 3 years, and thinks that that buzz and that high is going to sort of do it. But that's ego-based. And you know, do what you have to do, but it's not going to last. So these are the things that will last. So the meditation is basically breathing. And depending on how much mind activity you have, so let's break down the meditation a little bit. Meditation is basically to still the mind. It's to create no thoughts in your head. And everybody has these thoughts that are just, you know, all the time. And you know, it's terrible. I have to admit, though, I have never had that. I didn't even know that I didn't have what everyone else had. I have never had a mind that has had that sort of nonstop thinking that's uncontrollable. And I remember reading, I've been meditating since I was about 7 or 8 years old. And longer isn't better, you know, but that's just what it was for me. And I remember reading about, in this one Buddhist book, about stilling the mind and having no thoughts. And I'm thinking, well, I already have that. I can think if I want to, but I don't have random things. I don't have an uncontrollable thing that I have to sort of fight. And then I realized, shit, I must have done some really good stuff in my past lives, because I just never had it. And I think, my God, what hell that must be. So I'm a bit lucky in that way. A bit. I mean, I'm big lucky. Big time lucky. But basically then, you know, in the meditation is that as you're releasing the mind and the physical body and that sort of thing, now you turn to the breathing. The breathing is designed, and the focus of the mind is to take the 500 thoughts that you're having and try to reduce it down to 1. And as you reduce it after the 1, which is all of this is possible, I've seen it, I've helped people, so I know. But as you reduce the 500 thoughts down to 1 thought in a very controlled way, the mind starts to get retrained and it starts to know its place. Then from the one thought, in a lot of meditations will use like what they call a mantra, which is like a one word that you chant over and over. So here you are having like a ton of thoughts, and then suddenly you use the mantra. And so the mantra is taking over all the other energies of the other thoughts. And so now, you know, it has like sexy names like Shakti, you know, and all these Mukti and all these Indian sort of names. But it can be anything you want. I mean, it can be like, you know, your kid's name or your dog or what, I mean, really whatever, because, you know, in certain meditation circles, they'll tell you that, you know, when a powerful yogi gives you a powerful word, that, you know, it's going to mean more to you than if you just say, you know, happy, 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 happy over and over. But essentially, it's all the same. And once you have done this for a while, and for some people it happens right away, and other people it takes a little bit longer, but it's definitely possible. Then as the mind gets retrained with the mantra, you start to notice in your daily life that there's not as much of the tons of thoughts. So if you had 500 thoughts before all hitting you at once, now you have 50. And if you keep going, instead of 50, now you have 10. And then as you keep doing the mantra and your meditation, now you have, you know, 5. You know, you get it. So now eventually when you have very limited thoughts, there's a great sense of peace that comes, because once the mind is still, you know, you talk about the inner peace and the inner glow, and you look at all the Buddha statues and you're like, you know, why does he look so happy? You know, it's no thoughts. It's an energy that is natural to all of us, but it can only come when the mind is still. The way I liken it is like if you were walking down the street and it's really busy and it's noisy, and I'm calling out your name and I'm yelling your name. You don't hear me and you don't answer, but it doesn't mean that I wasn't calling you. And the reason why you didn't hear me was all of the distracting background noise. And that's exactly what happens when the mind and the body energy and everything, our spiritual connection is cut off. So we do all these things to try to find the spiritual connection, but all the while it's just been inside. It's like you running around your house looking for yourself. I mean, it's about as crazy as that. But, you know, unless you've read about it or someone's told you, you know, you're just going to believe what everybody else is doing, which is, I have to do this, I have to go here, I have to have that, I have to do. None of it is outside of you. Those things can help. I mean, don't get me wrong, they can be fun or whatever, but essentially what you're looking for is already you, which is your spirit, which is your soul. So then getting back to the meditation, so once you have done the mantra kind of thing, and I do recommend the mantra, but if you hate it, there's other things, you know, you can do also. But it's very good and it's very easy, and people seem to sort of like it, and it's a good place to start. You know, it's sort of like meditation 101. You know, it's not a difficult sort of thing. Okay, but then once you have no thoughts, then there's a higher realization that starts to happen, and that's where you stay in the oneness of no thoughts, and then there's something that's interesting that comes out of your chest or whatever, and it blends with that sort of peaceful energy that you're already feeling. And, you know, I mean, it's hard to put into words, but you just sort of tap into something really, really big and natural and wonderful, and it's a source of love and peace, and you feel fucking great. It's like, if any of you have done drugs or drink a lot or whatever, you like to party, I mean, you know, do what you got to do. But I mean, this thing, this is why people, when they get it, that's all they want to do is meditate, because it's our natural state. And it's extremely possible to do it, because it's basically what the world's about, is finding that connection and being one with it. It's not about not being human, but it's about having the oneness and then living your life and then making decisions and sharing your love and your life and having a good time. I believe life should be fun. It should be fun. It should be funny. It should be rich, it should be passionate, you know. So anyway, so those are the three things about what it is to be spiritual, in my mind, okay, and what I advise my clients. So again, the first one was the mind. You know, you hate your parents and every time they call you, you get super pissed. Okay, there's something there. talk to somebody, get some help, read some books, okay? The other thing is releasing in the body. Now, what I do also here in my little office slash clinic is what we call energy work, healing, that kind of stuff. And so there, you can also, that's sort of a fast track way for the lucky ones. And basically what I do is just, you know, scan the body, channel the energy, and it's like, wow, okay, we got a big one right here. And people leave, and I mean, you know, they can sometimes barely walk, but in a good way, you know, in a good way, of course. But I won't let people come on their lunch break. They're like, yeah, I'll come on my lunch, and then I'll go back to work. And it's like, no. No one will believe that you didn't go to the bar or you weren't, you know, smoking crack behind your car and then came into work. So healers can also help you to release this stuff. Massage therapists can do also, okay? And then, so in the mind. And then the second thing was, you know, releasing in the body, which is sort of what I was saying with the healing. You know, yoga, some kind of working out, walking in the woods. I mean, Sweden, everybody loves to walk in the nature and stuff like that. So, you know, whatever feels good. But if you can, you know, do something that's actually like worth your time, which is, you know, take a yoga class. Just do it, you know, do it for a month, do it for a week and just see. Yes, it's fucking boring, okay, but the benefits are amazing once you start to do it. And it's not about having a small ass or a perfect, you know, that's one of the things about yoga that I can't stand is you see all these, like, you know, super thin people, they're all gorgeous, you know, and they're all like hotties, and, you know, and they're doing these extreme, you know, like Cirque du Soleil kind of, like, you know, poses and shit, and they look like the Bolshoi Ballet and all that, and you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I'm not going to do that. That's, you know, it's like impossible. So, you know, that's a sort of a yoga side effect, which is this sort of hard body lifestyle. But essentially, you know, you can do anything anywhere. And there's lots of yoga places and there's lots of YouTube videos. There's one that I love. He's in Santa Monica. Actually, he's in Ojai now, where I used to live in California. Brian Kest, B-R-Y-A-N, Kest. K-E-S-T. He's amazing. He does live streaming from his stuff. It's cheap if you want to subscribe. But there's some older, there's some really old ones from the 90s. And it's kind of fun when you're older because you're like, yeah, 90s. You know, everyone's got like the hair and the jean. He's got these jean shorts on. So that's available and I recommend that. And that's the one that I do. Because it's like 45 fucking minutes and I'm done. You know, I feel amazing. And I always joke to my daughter, you know, before my yoga, I hate everybody. And after my yoga, I love everybody. It's that big, you know. So anyway, then the third thing is the meditation, finding a breathing technique that feels good, mixing it with a mantra or no mantra. And basically the goal of that is to reduce the thoughts in the mind. And when you've gotten that down to a very low number or nothing at all, then there's some other types of meditation that you can do that makes you go even higher. And this is all built in. I mean, you know, you look at people who love sugar, who eat candy or cookies and shit. It's not about the sugar. The sugar releases the dopamine in your brain. So everything is about like a drug kick. You know, love is a drug. Food is a drug. Life is a drug. So, you know, why should spirituality be any different? So it's about doing those three things. And it sounds like a lot, I mean, but it's not really. I mean, you build it into your life like you would build anything else. You know, I mean, you take a shower, you feed yourself, you see your friends, or you do whatever. I believe in the one quote that says, you know, you have time for whatever you want. You really do. There was that lady, like, 2 years ago, some woman in the UK, she wrote a best-selling fucking novel every day on the train. 45 minutes up, 45 minutes down. That's the only time she had to write this thing. And while other people were picking their nose and staring out the window and looking at porn on their phones or whatever, she was at a table and she was doing the best she could. And guess what? She cranked it out in a year. And people were like, well, where did you find the time? She's like, well, I had nearly 2 hours a day on my train, and why not? And like, oh, but I can't do it. I got to, you know, be in the sexy house by the ocean in the south of France. It's like, okay, but, you know, that's not going to help you even if you do it. So you can find the time if you really want to. And unfortunately, if, you know, none of this stuff really clicks for you just yet, you know, in the Indian tradition in India, they would say, well, okay, you know, you're going to be doing spiritual practice, but it's going to be called suffering. And life is going to keep making you suffer because for whatever reason, we don't really get off our ass until things aren't good. It's like when you have the flu, I tell clients, you know, say you need to paint your house inside, you know, the walls need painting or whatever in your bedroom, but you're sick in bed with the flu and you feel like shit. If someone was to come up when you're coughing and puking and sneezing or God knows, okay, like, well, what about the paint? You're like, fuck the paint. I don't, you know, whatever. You know, I just want to feel better. Okay. And then as soon as you're well, you're like, of course, you get to the paint and everything else that you have to do. So it's sort of like that. The suffering opens us up in some way. I mean, in the last 10 years, I can just say for myself, I don't want to repeat the last 10 years, but I definitely wouldn't be as happy as I am with my own energy flow and my connection and everything if I hadn't had that. It has to get dark sometimes, but anyway, you know, so you can't convince anyone to do it, or you can't convince anyone to do anything, really, because they're seeing their life in the reality of that level of consciousness, and that's another thing I'll talk about at some other time. So, okay, so therapy or something like it, you know, self-help books, that kind of thing. The second thing is the physical. Get off your ass, move your body. Hopefully you do some yoga, do some training and that sort of thing, or both. Okay, and then some kind of meditation. And those three things are what I would call a spiritual practice for someone who has not done anything. So if you have any questions, comments, or complaints, just keep them to yourself. No, you can find me at thatspiritualguy.com, and you can write me something there. Constructive, please. No, I'm teasing. If it's stupid, I won't answer you, but if it's cool, I will. So, be warned. Anyway, all five of you who hear this, right? So, anyway, I've enjoyed this, so hopefully I didn't talk all this time. Excuse me, and I look at the file and everything is shit. So you can do it. This is part of what life is, and this is what gives us meaning, especially those of us who are in the middle of life. And, you know, you've gone through the crazy early part, and now everyone's getting divorced and fighting over their kids in the BMW, and now they're on Tinder and all this stuff, and everyone's looking to just find the right person. My favorite quote about all that is like, I can't be me without you. It's like, wow, I wish it was that easy. But, you know, do what you got to do. So anyway, thanks for listening. And, you know, you can also listen to this if you need to fall asleep too. So, all right. Take care. Thanks. Bye.